welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Tom, episode 60 is but upon us. Do you have any words of wisdom now that we've gotten to the age of 60?
I need some joint cream.
And I've had enough of the youth of today.
Get off my lawn.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 60. Got some cool stuff to talk about. Bits and pieces in the news. I don't think we need to talk about the Golden Globes because they've already happened.
They did. People saw if they wanted to. If they didn't, they didn't.
I actually watched some of it.
How's that?
It was the most I'd seen for quite a while.
Sure.
But it was all right. I kind of like watching the people in the background.
Like the Fiji water lady.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's all anyone's talking about.
She was my favourite.
She did well. She'll get a TV deal out of this.
I hope so.
How's she? She's got to get a role in Aquaman too.
Yes. It makes sense, right? Uh-huh. Fiji water. Uh-huh. Perfect. I got a quiz for you a little bit later on.
Huzzah.
It's kind of a hard one, so There's lots of clues involved.
Good thing I put my thinking cap and the thinking pants on today.
The thinking pants look good, and I must say the cap is one I don't think I've seen before. It's a New York one. From your last New York trip?
Yeah, it's the Giants.
They are football?
Yeah, sports ball.
Hey, that was a good guess. I know the New York Knicks are basketball and the rest are just kind of guess. Oh, the Yankees are obvious as well. So it was all about deduction, really. I've watched a few things. I'm sure you have.
Some things.
Some newer and older stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to firstly get into some casting news.
Okay, what have you got?
Let's see if we've both got the same things.
All right.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually. I feel like some of the stories I've got tending to ones that I can imagine you having a chat about.
It was a slow news week.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's because the Golden Globes. So Dune, which was the book, and it still remains to be a book, is getting another movie made of it, which I think we've already spoken about maybe a few months ago.
Yes.
We've got new casting news.
Who have you heard?
Big Dave.
Yeah, Bautista.
Yeah, from Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2 and not 3. He is now going to be in it. I thought he's obviously not going to play the main character, Atreus, is that his name? Mm. Or is Atreus the kid from God of War?
No, wait, it might be from God of War. Sorry,
Paul Atreides. That's it. Paul Atreides is the main character in Dune.
Atreus is from Neverending Story.
It is too. Why are all these names so similar? So they've already cast Paul Atreides, who will not be Kyle MacLachlan, who played him originally in the 84 version. Instead, it's Timothy, I think it's Chalamet.
Sure. From Call Me By Your Name?
Yeah, he's got that face where you go, oh yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him in a few good things.
Yeah, that guy's been in stuff. Rebecca Ferguson is going to play his mother, Lady Jessica, and she's also got that face where you go, yeah, she's been in stuff as well. So Dave, Big Dave, is probably the most recognisable face cast so far in this movie.
And it's directed by Denis Villeneuve, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's probably why originally when the news of the fact that they were making a new film came out, that there was a bit of talk about it, because I think people are holding a lot of light at him.
Sure. Well, that's why Dave's in, because Dave worked with him in Blade Runner 2049 that he directed.
So I think we're probably going to get a good representation of Dune.
I like Dune, but I still, for some reason in my mind, it just always blends together with Stargate.
Yeah, I can see that.
Not the TV show, the movie.
So I've only read the first book. So I'm not sure which direction it goes in, but already, because I only read it a year or so ago, already I can see parts of it have influenced other stories and TV shows and movies.
I'm looking forward to it coming out, and hopefully there's going to be lots of spicy meme jokes, because it's all about spice. Who controls the spice.
That's right. Yeah.
Nice spicy memes.
In fact, what were they called, those big worm things in it? Anyway, whatever they're called, they were, I'm sure Horizon Zero Dawn makers would never admit to it, but there are creatures in that where you go, Dune.
Sure.
Yeah, which is pretty cool and always makes me think about it.
The old conquering worm.
Exactly. The worm. Is that what they were called?
W-Y-R-M, maybe?
It's been a while.
I've read too many fantasy books where they're called worms.
But anyway, that's exciting news. I don't think we'll get anything about it probably for the first 6 months of this year. We may start to hear a bit more a little bit later on, as obviously they haven't even started filming yet.
Sure.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
What about you news-wise?
And the opposite of exciting news.
Uh-oh.
Some really boring thing that I watched that was quite good anyway.
I don't know how to take that.
The Good Place did a live stream the other day from Janet's Void.
And?
It was about 5 hours of white, and occasionally she'd pop into frame, like, bing, and be there, and then, bing, pop out again.
So good.
And when she was there, she didn't do anything. She just stood.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, that Scandinavian, I think it might be Finnish programming, slow programming,
mm-hmm.
where it's all just really slow stuff that not much happens, and people just can't stop watching it. It's that, but with Janet appearing.
Well, I think it's inspired because they keep doing the either Christmas or New Year's. They've rotated with Nick Offerman sitting by a fireplace enjoying, I want to say scotch, but just sitting there sipping at it for 2 to 4 hours at a time. So I think it's just their take on that of like, we're in a live stream from Janet's Void. It was hilarious. intentionally, but not funny, but only funny because it was
because
unfunny.
Of what it was. Yeah, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Now I understand your whole build up to it.
Yeah, it wasn't exciting. It's so boring.
Makes a little bit of sense. Mm. In news that isn't really news, but it's news anyway, Venom made, what was it?
800 something?
Yeah, over 800 million. So, of course, they've greenlit a sequel.
Yes.
It's going to be written by Kelly Marcel. Now, I looked at what she'd done. Eclectic stuff. Saving Mr. Banks, Terra Nova, remember the show?
Oh, I remember Terra Nova well. I really watched the pilot again.
Oh, did you really?
Like a few weeks ago.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, still rubbish.
And speaking of rubbish, 50 Shades of Grey she wrote as well. So this is an interesting turn for her to do some
Well,
Venom.
She was involved in the first Venom film.
I know, but she's taking the reins now.
Because Ruben Fleischer, the director, he's off doing Zombieland 2.
Which I am already booked in to watch.
Well, it means Woody Harrelson's going to have a busy 2019.
Like it. Yep. Like it a lot. So this is a bit of quick news. What else have you found?
For those of you who love your stories,
as
Nanas call them every time, Good News Days of Our Lives have been renewed. Can you guess what season they might be up to?
Now, this potentially could be the longest running soapy around now. If I said 25 years, would that be?
Instead of years, let's go seasons.
Okay.
They might pump out more than one a year.
Oh, okay. 40.
More.
60.
Less.
50.
More.
55.
Bingo.
55 seasons.
This is their 55th season, Days of Our Lives.
There has to be some characters in there that have been around in people's lives their whole lives. Well, like almost like the Queen, you know?
So I don't watch Bold and the Beautiful anymore. There was a brief period.
Everybody goes through a phase.
I dated someone who was really into it, and all of a sudden I cared about Mossimo. I'd never cared about anyone, but this Mossimo character, what a slime bag.
Everything about it.
He's been there an awful long time. So, yeah, I reckon that's fair that in the same way that, you know, Dr. Carl, he's been on Neighbours an awful long time.
Yeah.
And Paul. Has Paul got a leg again? Because I know Paul lost a leg for a while there, or at least a foot.
Was he legless for a little bit? I know he went missing for a bit. I don't know if he technically went missing or he just left and then came back.
I think he faked his death at one point too.
Is that what it was?
Soapies. Hey,
but yeah,
stories.
Is he the last remaining Robinson on Ramsay?
Well, his missus came back. Susan came back because Susan was gone a while, I think, too.
Susan. Yeah. Do they have any famous offspring who are now in other stuff? Like, was there a kid, Susan? I mean, did Susan have a kid who was then a doctor in an American TV show? He's sort of blondish. Jesse McCarthy?
No. Oh, I know who you mean.
remember the name.
Yeah, I've forgotten his
but
name.
But he did.
Yeah, he
did
was on
stuff.
House. He went and was on
That's
House.
That's it. He was in House. He wasn't House, but he was in House.
Toadfish is still there.
Well, Toadfish was. I think Toadfish made it pretty clear 20 odd years ago he wasn't going anywhere.
Well, he's New Harold. You've got to have that one consistent character that stands to the side and goes, what? And Toadie has taken that role from Harold Wilkes. Harold was the master of the
He was exceptional. Whereas Home and Away had Alf.
Alf's still there, isn't he?
But his reaction is very different, but it still plays the same purpose.
That flaming
galas.
Yeah.
Pack of something Aussie. Wow. 55 seasons of, what were we talking about?
Days of Our Lives. One that we don't watch.
Yeah, but that's right. That's a long time.
Still good on them.
Yeah, that's, in all honesty, if you are an actor who wants stability, that's what you need to get
five
into.
5 days a week.
Yeah, you need to get into that kind of thing.
I reckon 55 seasons, they would have, I'd say, more than a month of long shots of someone having said something and then staring off into the distance as they go to an ad break.
That right there is a whole Twitch stream.
You'd put that together and it would last more than a month.
And people would watch it.
Oh, yeah.
That's more soothing than a Bob Ross.
Well, you could throw in the line. I'd be happy to throw in the line that causes them to look away. Like, and that's why I can't have your child. And then the music swells.
Yeah.
And then ad break.
To be honest with you, I wonder how many times people that line was said before a long stare off into space on that show.
Monthly.
It has to be quite regular, right?
Do you remember, was it Passions? Was that the one with all the mermaids and the little people?
And the witch and that was all interesting.
Yeah.
That was the 90s and it makes so much sense when you say that.
Yeah.
That was the 90s, of course it was. Yeah. The 80s would have had it except they just weren't ready.
No.
It was 92 and that's probably peak Passion.
You've got to thank Buffy, the movie.
Yeah.
That's 92.
What a great movie that was.
Yeah.
That was a bit controversial at the time because Luke Perry had to shave his sideburns for that.
Oh.
That was one of his things. That was his trademark. Hair.
Yep.
Sideburns.
He liked bouffant coif.
It was and he excelled in it. I don't think he does it in Riverdale, though.
No.
He's just sort of, I'm the dad that goes. Well, he was in the first season. That's
it's like
as far
when you
as
see
I got.
Dean Cain in something now. You're like, oh.
I have not seen Dean Cain for a very long time.
He pops up on Supergirl a lot.
Okay.
For a lot of the, like, listeners, I'm winking, but like one of those winking, hey, remember when I was Superman?
I used to watch Lois and Clark.
It's a great show.
I love that show.
Their adventures.
Yeah. Oh. Crazy kooky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler, but didn't they get married?
Mm.
In the show.
In the show, yes.
Hey, Mary. Something about that makes me think it's not actually hair gel. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I saw that, we've got a bit of a combined story going on.
Should we
start with the... How are we going to start it?
Start with the letdown news.
Okay, you start with the letdown news.
So as we were going to air, they just broke news that Star Trek IV, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek series, has been shelved indefinitely. Now, I've been waiting for some sort of update on this because Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth both walked away from it in like September over pay disputes, and there was never any further update on that. And we know that there's been that film happening, but there's also been... Quentin Tarantino has been writing a Star Trek film, and we haven't had any update either way. And there's news today that it's now shelved, I'm assuming because of the pay disputes.
It would make sense.
But it means that the director, S.J. Clarkson, is now free to
be the person behind the, I was going to say the wheel, that's why I had to pause myself.
Oh.
Behind the potential dragons in the Game of Thrones prequel.
Yeah, they're going to direct the pilot.
Yeah, pretty cool. We already knew that Naomi Watts is on board with it.
Uh-huh.
They've also thrown a couple of new people in.
New is the operative word. I did some digging on them and they've all had very small parts and other things.
I've looked at every single photograph of them and I don't recognise any of them. I'll just give you, I won't tell you who they are, I'll just give you a list of what they've been in.
Sure.
So Gorilla, Angels in America, Sweeney Todd, Twilight, Mortal Instruments, Hartos, Black Mirror, Humans, Chronicles of Narnia, To the Bone, Fantastic Beasts, The Crime of Grindelwald. So, yeah. Like I said, I didn't recognise any of their faces or names.
But you think at Game of Thrones, other than Sean Bean and maybe Mark Addy, if you're a fan of the full Monty.
And Yelena Headley.
Yeah. You got some people that have done great work in character roles and other stuff, but this was their sort of chance to break out. And I have a feeling this is what they're trying to recreate.
That's exactly what they want. So I'm not going to say they're the Starks reimagined, because obviously that's not storyline-wise going to work, but they're the character, they're the actors who the Starks are and were.
And looking at them, this will mean nothing to you, but looking at them, none of them look like what I imagine Dunk or Egg to look like, so I don't think we're getting Dunk and Egg. I think it's earlier in the storyline than that. That's for the six people listening that know what I'm talking about.
This is also, don't forget, this is written, or at least the pilot, written by George R. 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 Martin.
Instead of finishing Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's right. He's just going, no, I'm going back to the very beginning. Yeah. It's a very good place to start. I'm super excited. I already know I'm going to watch this. I already know. Just like I already know I'm going to read that prequel book that came out last year. I've got it, in fact. I just haven't read it yet. I already know that I'm going to read them and I'm going to enjoy them, and that every little bit of morsel of information that we get about the prequels for Game of Thrones, or the prequel, I should say, of Game of Thrones, I'm gonna read.
From events that we know in the show and books and stuff like that from the past, where do you reckon would be cool for this storyline to fit? Is it going to be something we know, or is it going to be completely new?
I would like it if we had. I'm not that interested in the First Men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I'm just not. I'm more interested in the Valyrian issue.
Sure, Valyrian steel.
Yeah,
because I'm very. I would love it if it was during the fall of Dragonborn, where everyone gets dragon scale, and Valyrian steel is very important there.
Yeah,
but something, I don't know, something to do with like a almost zombies infecting that world.
That's what we like.
Would be pretty cool.
And I still remember that episode where Tyrion is in the boat with what's his face, the guy who's in love with Daenerys. I can't remember his name now. The older bloke. You know who I'm talking about.
The
You're
Onion
screaming.
Knight.
No, the
Davos?
Other one.
Oh no.
There's so many names in that show.
God,
it's ridiculous.
How have we forgotten?
But
Jorah.
You know who he. Yeah. And that's where he got. Yep. Infected. But going through that part in the boat, I'm like, I need to know more about this world now.
Yeah, it's stepping into ancient history. It's kind of the equivalent of finding Atlantis.
Mm, exactly.
So I think a storyline there could be cool. It won't be that. But
it won't. Of course it won't be. But George R. 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 Martin will promise to write a book about that.
Yeah.
And we'll never get it. Any other news?
I got two short ones.
Cool.
One, I know we said we weren't going to talk about the Golden Globes, but there was one moment there that I feel like we need to.
Yeah.
During their coverage, E! Network, when Jameela Al-Jameel, who plays Tahani on Good Place when she arrived, they captioned her as Camilla, which is funny enough to name her the wrong name, but when you actually know the circumstances of Good Place where she's constantly upstaged by her sister Camilla, the fact that they would name her that arriving at her first major awards show is hilarious.
Now,
apparently she's rapt that it happened.
Oh, she would be. Like, well, it got a lot of news, right?
But she thinks it's a hilarious joke. Like, she knows it. Well, someone's intentionally done that. And she
There's
thinks
no
it's
way you could
great.
Have gotten that as a mistake. That's 100% intentional.
Yeah, especially because they even spelt Camilla, K-A-M-I-L-A-H, or however they do on the show.
Oh, I love it so much. Yeah.
Such a ballsy move.
So good.
And yeah, the internet reacted very quickly to that.
All good. All good comments.
Did you see Chidi had a beard and no glasses?
I couldn't take it.
Don't like it.
I don't know what's going on.
It's like he's... You got to feel... Like, anyone that's got to stand next to Manny and you can't look great next to two of the most beautiful people on earth, and he looked fine, but it's just like, oh dude, I don't like you with a beard. It's like when I saw Ron Funches, who always has a beard, shave his beard off. It was, no,
he said put that back on.
Yeah, no,
sticky tape the shavings back on,
burn it with fire. And the other one, and this was pretty cool, there's lots of chatter, obviously, always around Marvel stuff, but everyone's starting to go, Endgame, the one coming in May, what's happening? Well, last week of April, depending where you are. What's happening with it? Kevin Feige last night was interviewed on the red carpet for the Golden Globes. He said a couple of things, the main one being that all the promotional material we see for Endgame will likely be from the first 15 to 20 minutes of the movie only.
So there's a lot that is going to be a secret and a surprise.
That's right, that they're not... That they want to give away as little as possible. Now, there's going to be bits and pieces of leaks. Toys always seem to throw spanners in the work. Mm. There's a Lego figure of Captain America in what looks like it might be a spacesuit floating around. So maybe there's some of that happening. Who knows?
Makes a bit of sense. But it also, this really leans into the problem that everybody has in this day and age. In spoilers, if you're not one of the first people who go and see the movie, you're really in trouble of getting spoilers. And if you've seen the trailer and you've only seen the first 15, 20 minutes, you got to get there and watch it straight away, which is perfect. That's great publicity.
And it's put them in such a weird position because they've got Spider-Man Far From Home coming out a month and a half afterwards.
Very confusing, right?
And he's dead, inverted commas. Mm. How are they going to promote that film without giving away elements of of Endgame? And then you just have to ask, do they need to?
Potentially not.
Can they just wait until Endgame's out and then spoil Endgame with their promotion for Spider-Man?
Can its publicity simply be Endgame's publicity?
Yeah, Spider-Man's coming. We don't know how.
And that's more than enough.
Yeah.
Also, you've just had a Spider-Man game that was extremely well received. Into the Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse won at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, it did too.
It beat Disney and Pixar.
It's pretty huge, isn't it?
It's been a long time since someone's knocked them off their perch, let alone like Sony Pictures.
And a movie that has only recently come out as well.
It's so good.
It's impressive.
It's such a good movie.
How many times have you seen it?
Only the once. I'm so keen to go and see it again.
You should go and see it again.
I want
to.
I keep pestering.
All of the people.
That's enough news for you, madam.
All right,
I'm banging
sir.
My gavel.
Whoa, you're so judge-like. Judge Judy-like.
Do you like my white braids? Are they braids? What do you call that? Just a wig.
Oh, yeah. I like the wig. It's very French. Thanks. Aristocratic.
Thank you. I'm wearing judgy. A vest and acting like a colonial soldier.
Yes.
Pip, pip.
They said it couldn't be done, but I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What have you watched this week?
So I'll give you a couple of trailers. They're very short. There's only two. But I mentioned Corporate is back last week. The trailer for that's looking great.
You really like that.
I love
like
that.
The first, yeah.
So that's going to be really strong. I think it's paired this year with the new season of Drunk History, which I saw the trailer for the other day. Season 6, still going strong.
Mm.
Looks like some big names are popping up there. I saw a couple of people from Westworld as some of the reenactors.
This is sounding good.
Yes.
Do you know Drunk History to me is one of those shows that, yeah, it's been going for 6 seasons but it feels to me that it picks up new people every year. There's always a new audience.
Yeah, it does grow.
Discovering.
And it's an interesting one because there are episodes where I'm not interested in the topic at all or who they're covering and stuff. And those episodes are fine, but there might be ones that I wasn't expecting and where they'll do one subject that's great and I can see why that is.
Mm.
Also, every segment is very bite-sized and YouTube-friendly, so it's a really good way of inviting people in all the time.
Fits in very well.
Yeah. And they've got Drunk History UK. They filmed a pilot for Drunk History Australia that was part of, I think, Channel 10's pilot program late last year. I don't think it got picked up, but they did a Ned Kelly reenactment with people from Underbelly.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So, yeah, Drunk History Season 6. And then Those Who Can't is coming back for Season 3, which is a very silly show. It's basically It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but with high school teachers, 3 guys and 1 woman, crazy librarian type. It's very funny. The character that's meant to be like the Charlie, the crazy one, he's less offensive, but... way crazier.
Mm-hmm.
He does some really stupid stuff.
He's on board with ridiculousness.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
cool.
And the trailer for the new season, like many comedy trailers, you can't really tell what any of it's about because it's just snippets from different episodes that don't tie together. It's
out of context, but still hilarious.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. What about you? What have you been watching?
I did a bit of older watching.
Oh.
I didn't go out of my way to watch it. It just suddenly appeared on television. I can't even remember what channel I saw it on, but I saw Monty Python's Meaning of Life again.
Mm-hmm.
Probably out of the Monty Python movies, looking back, like nostalgia-wise, it was my favorite growing up.
Okay.
I think I liked it because it still did the skits, even though obviously there were longer ones. But the weird thing about watching The Meaning of Life again this week was the beginning of it, I had no recollection of. I do not remember the beginning at all.
So maybe you were watching a VHS copy recorded off TV that started at some point halfway through.
Exactly what I was thinking. Huh. I don't remember that skit at all where there's a pirate building, not a skyscraper but a building, and it's attacking skyscraper people. It's all businessmen and taxpayers.
Oh, I remember.
I don't remember that at all. Isn't that weird?
That is very weird.
I reckon almost, well, now I'm not sure, but I would have assumed that I had remembered every single moment of that movie. I remember watching it a lot, but I think it's spot on what you said. I just never saw the beginning because we hadn't taped it.
Look, I get that. I went and saw Predator, the original one, in cinemas not too long ago.
Yeah.
And I sat there for the first 10 minutes going, what is this? I don't remember this. Because in my mind, the movie starts with that amazing handshake. Dylan, you son of a bitch. The film starts at that moment in my mind because I taped it off TV.
Isn't that funny? And that's not a thing that kids these days would have a problem with at all.
No. That's a problem gone, problem solved.
Yeah. In fact, their problem would be that they got sick of it and stopped watching the stream of whatever they selected.
Yeah.
Buffering, that's right. Oh, my gosh. The past week or so, probably more than that, my internet at home has been absolutely dreadful.
Sure.
Like to the point where it's unusable, and then it just wasn't. It just didn't exist for a few days.
Do you think that's because lots of people are on holidays and everyone's hogging Netflix?
Potentially. I think that's the original reason. But
stop
then
streaming in high def, everyone.
Everybody go to work. Leo wants to watch stuff.
That's right. She doesn't work normal hours. Let her do things during your productive time.
Yeah. You can watch stuff at 10 o'clock at night when I'm fast asleep or at work.
Maybe you should set up a treadmill that like your cat runs on.
And have the internet going on that.
That's what I mean. Amazing. The cat running on it charges special Wi-Fi privileges.
Put a bit of milk or, some sort of delicious food. Just basically your dinner. Just put that there.
Yeah, put a catnip on a fishing line.
Oh, yeah.
Dangle, dangle.
Ridiculous.
Or just put a bunch of cucumbers behind the cat.
You know, I've tried that several times and there's always been like this, what's that? Why is that there behind me? I'll just keep eating.
Oh,
there's never, it's not concern. It's not
that
shock.
Same
it's just
jump.
What is that?
Mm.
Why is that there?
Have you been using a zucchini?
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe my cat is scared of zucchinis, not cucumbers.
Mm.
All right, back to the research. I'll go.
A dill pickle.
The smell alone will be quite pungent for a cat.
What about an eggplant? You reckon they bother by an eggplant?
Look, this is going to be my homework.
Yeah.
I'm going to try everything.
I want you to shove different phallic-shaped vegetables at your cat.
to the point where it's just like, there's something behind me, isn't
there?
Yeah,
I want the cat to be like, meow.
Enough. This is an offended look on its face.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Granthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What have you been watching?
So in the spirit of watching something old, I'm very excited because next week is when Glass comes out.
Mm-hmm.
M. Night Shyamalan's new one. So I last night rewatched Unbreakable and Split back to back. And I rewatch Unbreakable quite regularly because it's a great movie and it's one of the first ones that ever grew up and took superheroes a little bit seriously. And I'd forgotten there's so many great comic book lines and chats and stuff in that one.
Is it one of those movies that because you watched it a lot a while ago, you forgot that you had taken lines and references from it and just used them as part of your everyday thing? And you see it happen in the movie, you're like, huh?
Yeah, lots.
I love it when that happens.
Lots of the creepy stuff that Elijah, Samuel Jackson says, unintentionally worked into my own vocab. Which is not great because he's the villain. But yeah, Unbreakable holds up so well, and Split is great. And I saw Split when it first came out at cinemas, and I'd been meaning to rewatch it, especially knowing everything more. Mm. Without delving into it for anyone who's not seen and stuff, but they do tie together quite nicely and set this one up. And yeah, there was I intentionally haven't watched any trailers for Glass since the very first one, but yeah, I read something the other day saying that this film is set about 3 weeks after the events of Split.
Okay.
And it's been 18, 19 years since Unbreakable came out, but this is going to be set 15 years after.
So it's very important.
Well,
to watch the first two.
Well,
To watch those two, I should say.
Yes. David's son from Unbreakable is going to be played by the same who was a child is going to be playing by the same actor now that he's grown up. I have a feeling he's kind of going to be like Alfred, like the one running the support network for his father.
That's cool, though. That's a nice little spin.
Well, it's an awesome take on flipping the Batman, which is, you know, the young hero and the elder mentor protecting him.
Mm.
Instead, have that flip dynamic of having the young rapscallion running the computers. Dad, quick, get over to 5th and 12th Precinct.
Trying to bring him up to technological speed and everything.
Dad, hit update. Things like that.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yes, so that comes out Thursday next week. And if the stars align, I'm going to see it Thursday. Because that's one I do not want anything spoiled.
Yeah, yeah.
It's his movie. There's going to be a twist, some sort of twist.
Well, there always is.
There always is.
It's funny, we were talking the other night, I was at a dinner and we were talking about Sixth Sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say the twist, because I'm sure that there are a few people who haven't seen it or...
He sees bread people.
Yeah, that's right. But I remember going to the movies with two friends, and one of the friends was at the dinner the other night and we were talking about it, and we were talking about how the third friend, who we don't see anymore, we watched the movie, we saw the twist just happened, and we were like, oh, that's cool. And she said, does that mean that... And then got the whole twist completely incorrect to the point where we were like, did we get it wrong? What do you, And I just wonder, these kind of twists that you watch in a movie years and years ago, if you got it so completely wrong that if you were to watch it again and watch it and get the twist correct in your head, if suddenly you had your mind blown because she got it so wrong. And she can't be the only one.
Sure.
But it was pretty obvious, the Sixth Sense twist.
Yeah, once it's laid out for you, once that phrase is said, then you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, it'll make sense.
And you go back and, yeah.
It'll make sense anyway. But, yeah, some always good twists in his films.
Not always.
Well, always twists, mostly. I should say.
There's always a twist. There's not always a good twist.
What was that movie where...
I'm going to guess The Happening. Is that the one you were going to say? About the wind bothering Mark?
I've seen that. Yeah, the wind bothers me too.
There was Lady in the Water with Bryce Dallas Howard.
Is that the one where she lived? No, I'm talking about The Village.
The Village is all right. Mm. The Village, the first time I watched it, the twist, but I went back and rewatched it. It is a good film. I will stand by that.
I remember liking that.
It's better than... It deserved at the time.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
Avatar: The Last Airbender is awful.
Okay,
that has got to be his pits.
Okay, so but he's coming out.
He's bounced back with Split.
Yeah,
and Glass.
And Glass is going to be.
It's got very strong whispers.
Spectacular. Mm. Now I was looking for something to watch the other day.
Yes.
And Tidy recommended The Casketeers, and I went,
The Casketeers? Are these wine-focused
musketeers? No, it's way more random than that.
Right.
It's about a New Zealand funeral home.
Yeah.
It's not a drama. It's not a comedy. It's a reality show doco. It's like a doco. But somehow they managed to make this show... about the people that work there. So it's almost like The Office. In fact, the guy, the main guy, the boss, he's almost David Brent-like.
So it sounds like you're watching Tanked.
But he's
real. But instead you're watching Casket.
Yeah.
It's a show about people that make something. So are these the people that bury them, or are these just the people making the coffins?
They bury them, but they... Okay. So they'll finish the coffins in that they'll do all the inner lining and...
Do they trick out people's coffins? Like, is it like Pimp My Ride?
No. But I don't know what it is about this show. I couldn't stop watching it. I watched all six episodes in one day.
Wow.
It's super endearing. Like, there are moments, obviously, because it's about people who die and funerals. There are bits that are a bit sad. But there are also bits that are quite funny and lighthearted and make you smile.
Oh, look, I get it. I watched 6 Feet Under for years, and that was all set in a funeral home.
Yeah, I
get exactly what you mean. Of the darkness of that place forces the light to emerge stronger.
That's right. Yeah, like who keeps eating the cookies from the cookie jar?
Probably a zombie.
Yeah, I'd say so. But also I found really interesting because like he is a Maori and all of his staff are either Maoris or other people from Pacific Islands. Mm. And they, it seems like this funeral home pretty much caters, or else the television show is only just focusing on the funerals of people who are Maori, who are Samoan, who are Tongan. And it shows you how they do funerals, how they mourn, how they grieve, how it all happens. There's a lot of singing. For example, somebody had died and the family were coming in for a viewing and the staff were singing a welcome song in Maori.
Nice.
It's really cool. It's called Casketeers. I found it on Netflix. I'm sure everybody in New Zealand who's listening to this is like, yeah, we already know about this. But I just discovered it. And I'm telling you, you will watch it and you will watch the whole entire season. It's only six episodes.
So there's six episodes, half hour episodes?
Yeah, about half hour.
Okay. So of that 3 hours of viewing time, you saw several Kiwi funerals.
Yep.
How many times did you hear Slice of Heaven?
Not once.
What?
I know, right?
What?
This is why I think there's going to be a season two. Oh,
I'm genuinely thrown by that. Because you know if it's Australia, you're getting a bit of Kaysan or, you know.
Yeah, every time.
Powderfinger.
Yeah.
These days turned out nothing
my
like
happiness. Yeah.
Be a bit of that. That's why I say Slice of Heaven, Split Ends.
No, yeah.
Crowded House.
No, yeah. So it's them singing with the guitar.
Where's Dave Dobbin?
He's obviously not in Auckland. I wonder where he lives.
I think he's passed away.
Really? Yeah. Poor Dave.
Mm. If not, thoughts with you, Dave.
Yeah, good on you, Dave. Yeah.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
What have you watched?
So I mentioned it a few weeks ago that it was coming up, and I watched an episode of Legends of the Lost with Megan Fox.
And?
So it was about female Viking warriors, or... You know, whether this had been a thing, and that she's got a very monotone voice. Which it can work if you're a deep voiced male, because then it comes off gravitas. You're Morgan Freeman.
However,
when you are hosting a travel information show about history, you need to sound like a bit enthusiastic, otherwise, you sound a bit bored.
Mm-hmm.
So, the beginning of the episode, I was like, is she really bored by this? But then, as it got into it, I actually quite got into the show.
Because it was an interesting subject matter?
It was, and she went places I wasn't expecting.
Okay.
So I don't quite... I watched the episode, and I can't tell you how it got from Viking warrior women and trying to find out whether that was a thing to her taking a night vision camera and sitting in a Nordic forest alone overnight conducting a vision quest with her spirit guides.
Was she playing Skyrim or Elder Scrolls?
No, she got made to eat some weird paste and go and sit in the thing. And she's talking to a camera going, I'm all alone and I'm so scared of all this. And I'm like, you're not. You've got a camera there. Yeah. You're not.
Yeah.
But it ended up being quite compelling. As I say,
How long was it?
It's 45 minutes. So it's an hour long show.
Yeah, right.
A new episode each week. There's Stonehenge and lots of different
topics. Is she going to be the host of everyone?
Yes. And okay. So I believe this is the same production company that recently did the science fiction stories with Zachary Quinto.
Oh, yeah, right.
So it's that idea of taking a science fiction or action star and pairing them with some interesting topics.
Yeah.
So she's doing history. His was about science fiction and pushing humanity and stuff like that. If it hadn't had that element of her going and tripping out in the woods, I don't think it would have been nearly as compelling. But it was that idea of, I'm that interested in this topic, I want to come at it from different angles, and this is the weirdest angle possible.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was ballsy enough to go and do that and record the whole experience, by the end I was like, okay, this is quite interesting.
Could it be because it's the first episode?
I think this is the second, because I intentionally missed Stonehenge or something, I think.
I just wonder if maybe not only she will warm into this hosting position, but also you will warm into the style of the program more the more you watch. Because stuff like that has happened to me before. What was that show I talked about a few weeks ago? It was a travel show, Travels with My Father.
With Jack Whitehall.
Yeah, Travels. Was it called Travels with My Father?
Yeah.
Anyway,
where
the
he
first
takes the gap year with his dad.
That's it. Yeah, the first episode, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm on board with this. And then I watched the second one, and I understood what was like the rhythm, the theme, the whole. I don't want to sound like I'm quoting The Castle, but the general vibe of it.
Look, if this show was half an hour, I'd be a lot more inclined to jump in regularly.
Okay.
I think it might be a touch long, and it depends on the subject matter.
Mm.
But I was surprised because I thought it was going to be like, I couldn't bring myself to watch Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club.
Mm.
I saw that came out this week. Mm. Can't do it.
No.
Listeners, I love you, but I won't do that. If you want me to watch that show, write in and make some sort of barter deal, and I'll tell you why I shouldn't.
TheWatchersPodcast@gmail.com. Look, if you haven't got anything else to talk about watching, we might as well get into our quiz. All right, so we were talking about Dune.
Yes.
Dune, how it's a TV show, it's been a movie, and it will be a movie again very soon. I thought we could go along that path. So he played Paul Atreides in the 1984 version of Dune. I'm talking about Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah.
So I thought we could delve into some of his back catalogue, and you've got to guess the movie or TV show from the character's name.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Now, as I said at the beginning, it is a bit difficult.
This is a tough one.
So there will be lots of clues.
Good, because we'll talk through them together. Somewhat of a blind spot for me.
Me too. And then I realised that he had been in stuff that either if I hadn't seen, it had definitely been on a radar level.
Yes.
There's five of them. We're going to go with Cliff Vandercave. Now, just pay attention to the name. So Cliff Vandercave, it was a movie in the early 90s, 94, I think. It was a movie based on a cartoon that used to be on television in
about
the 60s.
That was
or
the
70s.
Flintstones, where he was the villain. He was the CEO that took over.
That's it.
And
Cliff Vandercave.
Stiffed. Is it Mr. Stanley? Sneedley? Snidely?
I get that boss and the Jetsons boss.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking.
Mixed up all the time.
Yeah, Mr. Snidely's from
What about Zach Carey? 1995, it was a movie, so he obviously did it after the Flintstones. A slightly different sort of film. I don't think they would have gotten the same audience at the time. The main character, she...
Not Striptease.
No, you are right there. You are right there.
You know
there.
What I'm thinking
Elizabeth
of.
Berkley from Saved by the Bell.
They fucking the pool.
Showgirls. Yes. That is impressive. That, good work.
Oh, thank you. I had to really dig through the old memory banks, but I suddenly saw him convulsing in a pool, and I was like, I know what this is. Yep.
What about Dale Cooper?
Oh, that's Twin Peaks.
Yeah, an easy one from 89 and then later on.
Last year.
Yeah, exactly. Special Agent Dale Cooper. But I thought if I used Special Agent, it was a huge giveaway. What about Trey McDougall? I'm not sure if you would have watched this, but it was from a TV show. He was in it for a couple of years from about 2000 to 2002. It was a huge television show. It was not only about the characters, but it was about the city that it was set in.
Sex and the City?
Yeah, he was Charlotte's... Did they get married?
No, she married Evan.
They might have just been engaged for a while. But he was very funny. He was weird funny.
Sorry, Evan Handler is the name of the guy that she married, the bald guy.
Mm.
But I can't...
Great. He was... See, he came after Trey McDougall.
Okay.
And anybody... In fact, he was her divorce lawyer.
Right.
Oh, so she must have gotten married, yeah.
Sure.
So her and Trey got married and got divorced and, yeah, he was the divorce lawyer and then that's how they met and got married.
There you go.
And the last one, I totally forgot that he was in this. His character's name was Orson Hodge. It's a television show from 2006 to about 2012. We were talking about Lois and Clark. Lois was in it, a.k.a. Terry Hatcher.
Oh, yeah, he was on Desperate Housewives. He was.
I totally forgot. Marsha Cross's husband.
Yeah, I wrote about it.
Yeah, did you?
I used to run the website.
Did you have to watch?
Yeah, I wrote recaps for every episode.
Wow. How was that?
Good, I liked that show.
Was it a good show?
Yeah, it went off the rails late season two, early season three.
First season had a great premise.
Yeah.
And I think that's as far as I watched.
Brenda Strong, who was the dead one, mm-hmm. the narrator, she was on Fear the Walking Dead. She was the, when they were in that big hotel, she was the crazy lady that holed herself up, was the father or the mother of someone who died. That's her.
Huh.
Yeah, she's in a lot of stuff, Brenda Strong, repping it, character actor style.
She probably does a fair bit of voiceover as well after that.
I reckon so.
A fair bit of work. That was good. You did exceptionally well.
Thanks. I kept waiting because he was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while.
I know. I thought it was too obvious, though.
Okay, so I thought you might throw me a bone and throw that one in it.
I was being tough, obvious, but you didn't need.
Thanks. Didn't I feel good about that. I've gone to the Kyle MacLachlan max. MacLachlan.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you do want to send us any watching suggestions or questions or shout at us like Viv did the other week, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com is where to go. Thank you, Tom.
Snoochie Boochies.